Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezra. The Old Testament book of Ezra in chapter number 1. The Old Testament book of Ezra in chapter number 1. Now we're starting a brand new series, the period of the restoration, where the people have been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and now they're being released back to their homeland to go rebuild a temple. And it just so happens that we are celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Riverview Baptist Church. And we're so thankful for the ministry and for how God has used the Riverview Baptist Church with Pastor Suri as starting the church, using him as an instrument. And now Pastor Suri was here for a good number of years, and now you've had to put up with me for a couple of years. And we're thankful, Lord, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. And we should celebrate victories that God gives us within the life and ministry of the Riverview Baptist Church. And we're going to see that portrayed in tonight's sermon too, as we watch the beginning parts as they go back and they start getting work done on the house of the Lord. If you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra, chapter number 1. Ezra chapter 1, and if you don't mind, let's read starting at verse number 1. Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and to put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beast, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and of the priests and the Levites, and with them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of gold, silver, with gold, with goods, with beast, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Merodach the treasurer, and number them unto Shabazar the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. And all the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shesbazar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that is found in some way or another three times within this text of Ezra chapter 1? Ezra chapter 1, notice with me in verse number 2 where it says, build him a house at Jerusalem. It, talking about building up the house of the Lord, build him a house at Jerusalem. Notice with me in verse 3 where it says, build the house of the Lord. Build the house of the Lord. Once again in verse 5, build the house of the Lord. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on this text with the same idea that God places here. Build the house of the Lord. Build the house of the Lord. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, we're just asking that you would pour your Spirit down upon us, that you would open up this text in a special way. Help us to have understanding, help us to have clarity, and help us as we also apply it to the celebration, to the landmark that we are hitting here at the Riverview Baptist Church of 15 years of this church being in existence. And again, we're so thankful for what you've done, for the miracles, for the victories that you've wrought, and we're looking forward to you continuing to do the same within the life and ministry of this church. Lord, help us as we celebrate, help us as we rejoice, help us to acknowledge your goodness and to see who you are. And Lord, I'm asking that you would fill me in a special way, that you can get your own work accomplished through your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as a kind of application to start off with, we understand that there are three places that the Word of God refers to as the house of God. So there are three places that the Bible applies or that calls the house of the God. That first of all, he called the tabernacle the house of God. He called the temple the house of God. And something else he calls the house of God today in this age here, the New Testament church, he calls the house of God. And so there are many times that we can make an application when dealing with something, dealing with the house of God, that even though something may historically have happened, that as we observe the principles and we observe how they work, we could also apply the principle of the house of God here. And I still believe that this is true, what God said here, that God desires to build the house of the Lord. I believe that God has something still planned, and that God, of course, today uses the local New Testament church to get his work accomplished. And so if you don't mind, as we go through this series and then tonight, that let's look and see what God is trying to get accomplished in the life of the Hebrew people back then, and then as we also make application to us today. The first thing I'd like to show you in this text is the proclamation of Cyrus. The proclamation of Cyrus. Now, remember, in verse number 1, notice what it says. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Now remember that the original temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And it was just like God predicted was going to happen. In fact, he warned the people over and over and over that turn to me. Look at me, look at me, follow me, obey me, or I'm going to take you out. Look at me, or there's going to be chastisement. Look at me, look at me. And they refused to obey God. So finally God said, all right, I have no choice. 586 BC, he sent the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar to come and to level the city of Jerusalem, which also included the temple of God, that literally they destroyed it. They wiped it off the map. And there was no more temple. Now, Nebuchadnezzar also sent his soldiers to take all the furniture, all the instruments, all the plates, everything that was worth a value inside of the tabernacle and the temple, and to haul them back to Babylon as a prize. Look at what we have. We raided another God's temple, and look at all the treasures we got because of it. And they went and they cataloged it and they placed it aside. But God did not just leave it there. God also gave them a promise. He told the Hebrew people that in 70 years, I'm going to destroy the Babylonian Empire. As you notice Old Testament scripture, you'll notice that whatever rod that God uses to chasten his people, meaning to take them outside the woodshed, God also breaks that rod. And so God used the Babylonian Empire to chasten the people of Judah and Jerusalem because they were not obedient. And then God broke the rod. And in 536 BC, what happened? The Persian Empire destroyed the Babylonian Empire. And now, 70 years later, just like God promised, God's pretty exact. 70 is a pretty specific number. 70 years, God had Cyrus the Great, who was not a Christian, who was not a Jew, who was not a believer, but a Gentile foreign king who believed in other gods. God used this emperor to say, guess what? Go home and go build the house of God. Notice again in verse number 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now isn't that an amazing thing that God holds the heart of the king in his hand? It doesn't matter if the king's a believer or not. God's still in control. God knows exactly what to do, and he knows exactly how to move. He knows exactly how to get his work accomplished. And it said, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he, that Cyrus, made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing. So basically, what Cyrus did is he came up and he said, God's given me something to do. And he wrote it down and he sent this letter throughout the Persian Empire and says, basically, go home. Notice verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of earth. He hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people? So here's the letter. The letter starts off by saying, hey, your God, not my God, your God told me that I need to send you back home to rebuild your temple. Now, who there calls himself a Jew? Who calls himself a Hebrew? Go home! Now, isn't that an amazing God? That he sent a non-believer king, stirred his heart to write a letter to the Jewish people throughout the empire, and says, your God told me to go rebuild that house, and he wants you to do it, so whoever of you who's a Jewish person, go home. Go rebuild the house. Obey your God. I'm just the messenger here. Go obey your God and go rebuild, go build him a house. Notice in verse number 3 again. Who is there among you of his people? Let his God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. Notice this. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Now again, Cyrus did not recognize the true God in heaven. Meaning, you're not going to see him up in heaven. He never made a profession of faith. But he did say, hey, you know what? Your God's real enough that he stirred me up. Your God's real enough to stir this up. Your God's real enough to work on me to go tell you to go home. You better obey your God because he's real. He is the true God. Obey your God and go home and go build. He's got a task for you to do. Now, this is an amazing thing within the course of human history. By the way, this isn't just Bible history. We can look in Persian history and it records the same thing. You see, this wasn't just imaginary things. This isn't just something a Bible writer came up with. This is historical. You can look through Persian records and find this decree. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That it matches up with history. Verse number 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold and goods and beasts beside the freewill offering of the house of God that's in Jerusalem. Now, in verse 4, Cyrus said, all right, go home. Go home. But if some reason you don't go home, you supply the people who are going home with everything they need. If they need gold, you give them gold. If they need beasts, they need transportation, give it to them. Now, they also said the people are going to collect an offering when they get home. You know, good Baptist Bible people, they got to collect an offering wherever they're at. And they still expected the people to give a free will offering of themselves. But he said, go home. But if you don't go home, send money with them. So that way the house is built and take care of. Everyone has a responsibility to help the house of the Lord be built. And this is the proclamation of Cyrus. This is what Cyrus declared unto the people. That you go back, go home, build the temple. And if you somehow can't go home, then you at least give your supply, your tithes, your offering to make sure that it gets done. Everyone has a job to do in building the house of the Lord. Now, notice a second thing, if you don't mind. Not only the proclamation of Cyrus, but notice the preparation of the people. The preparation of the people. Notice with me in verse number 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priest and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised up to go build the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem. So as the proclamation went out, the leadership of the people rose up. They said, hey, we need to go. And they led the way. So the leadership led the way. The people followed. And the people willingly gave support to this. That what happened is that they gave money and jewels and stuff. We see that in verse 6. And then notice in verse 7. And also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. And so what happened is that these same instruments that were inside of the temple, these same things that were used to serve God inside of the temple, they had been put in kind of like a museum under Nebuchadnezzar. And Cyrus said, hey, take this stuff with you. So they didn't have to remake the things. They already had it available that God had provided and kept it in store. And all they did was haul it back. And we'll see all the things, verses 8 through 10, actually 8 through 11, all the stuff they brought with them. Isn't it a blessing? They didn't have to remake those things. They didn't have to go to Walmart and rebuy those things. God said, here's everything you need that I took, that was already taken from the house. Bring them back home. God's already supplying. God's already working. And we see the preparation of the people. Now with this, we are introduced to another person. Notice with me in verse number 11. It says, all the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shebezar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Now Shebezar is the name of the person who's going to lead them back home. He's better known as a different name of Zerubbabel. You say, these are big, hard names. Aren't you glad you're not named Zerubbabel? Show up in kindergarten. What's your name? Zerubbabel. How do you spell it? I don't know. Nobody knows. But his Hebrew name was, his captivity name, his Babylonian name was Shebezar. By the way, it means joy in tribulation. Shebezar, joy in tribulation. What a great testimony that had to be for him to say, hey, that's the guy who's always happy. Even though he's in tribulation, even though he's in a hard time, he's still blessed. You know, it's so interesting. Paul Swanky, the evangelist, texted me this morning or the other day, and he said, preacher, I want to give you encouragement. He says, every time I call and ask how you are, you always say, I'm blessed. And I said, well, amen. He says, usually people translate the word happy. And he says, you know, that didn't quite stick right with me. So he says, what I did is I looked it up. And he says, you know what that word means? It means favored of God. That when you say I'm blessed, that means God favored you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm blessed. God's favored me. He's poured out his blessings upon me. I'm blessed. Well, that's what Shebezar. He's under Babylonian captivity. His family has been torn away from him. He's been forced to kind of go through the Babylonian schools and change his mind. And they even gave him a new name. You can't use your old name anymore. Here's your new name. What's my new name? Joyful in tribulation. I'm blessed. He says, I could still be in a good mood. Just because I'm hurting doesn't mean I have to be grumpy about it. He says, joyful in tribulation. Now, his Hebrew name is Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means stranger in Babylon. Meaning, I don't belong here. My home's not here. My home's somewhere else. Now, isn't that a blessing? You know, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My home's somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day when I get to go home. But Zerubbabel is going to be one of the major important characters of this series. More important than you realize, and we'll cover that some other sermon. But Zerubbabel is going to be the political leader of the return. And you're going to see his name pop up over and over and over and over. But it is him who's in charge of bringing the people home. It's him who's politically charged. Basically, Cyrus says, you are in charge. Go back and make sure it gets done. Yes, sir. So he's the one that's in charge. He's the one that needs to make sure that everything is put together. And what he does is he leads 20,000 people back. And you say, how do we know it's 20,000? Notice with me in chapter number 2. In chapter 2, it's one of those lovely lists where it gives all these names that when you read your Bible reading, you go, okie dokie, I can't even pronounce half of these. You know, this isn't in names of people who were faceless, but what God is doing is showing that each and every person is important. You understand that in a church like this, every single person is important. And God knows who you are. You're just not a faceless person in the midst of a background. You have a place in building the house of the Lord. You have a spot. You are important. You have a task. You have a place. Isn't that encouraging? That when you go through these list of names, it shouldn't be a discouragement to you when you read them and say, who are all these people? You know, God says you're important enough that he listed them down. And he listed all their name because every single one of them are important. And so are you. That as we are used of God to build the Riverview Baptist Church and just be obedient and watch God open it up, every single one of us have a place. Every single one of us have a responsibility. Every single one of us have something to do. Every single one of us are important in helping the Riverview Baptist Church move forward. Everyone has a place. And so we see the proclamation of Cyrus. We see the preparation of the people as they go. But there's one more thing I want to show you. The praise of the congregation. The praise of the congregation. Chapter 1, we can see Cyrus saying, go home. And the people finally rising up to go home. In chapter 2, we see the names of all these people who finally go home. 20,000 people. And each one of them are important. If you don't mind, look with me in Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3. And the first part of Ezra 3, we see them as they're preparing to build the house of God. They're putting the things up there. They arrive. They start the worship. And now they finally get to work. Notice with me in verse number 8. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 8. Notice with me in verse 8. It says, now in the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the remnant of the brethren, and the priests, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and were appointed unto the Levites from the 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Joshua with his sons and brethren, Gamaliel and his sons, and the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of the God, the sons of Henadad, and their sons and their brethren with the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of God, the Lord, then they set priests in their apparel with trumpets, and Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto God, unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted. See, they're shouting at a church service. There's nothing wrong with shouting at a church service. And the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was made. Now here we can see that they worked. And as they worked, all they did was lay the foundation. If you can imagine, just a big slab. There's no pillars, there's no posts, there's no furniture, just a big slab. But you know what? This was a mile mark. This was a landmark. This was a goal they reached. They got the first part of it. And so what they did is they stopped and they recognized God was good. They recognized that God was right. They took time to sing. By the way, singing is one of the best ways that God gives us to give thanks to him, to show our appreciation. That's why congregational singing is so important. By the way, to think about the words, to think about that God is good. And they got so excited about the singing, and they got so excited about the landmark, that they're shouting and they're excited. They're not like, yay, it happened. All right, next. Yawn. They're excited to see the victories. They're excited to watch God work. I mean, the temple's not even finished, but they stop and they look. God is so good. Notice again what they praised him for. In verse number 11, they sang together by course. That means they did one song and then another song and then another song in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. You understand that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. We ourselves have reached a landmark. 15 years of the Riverview Baptist Church being here. And you know what? We should be excited about it. This is a big deal that God is good. He showed us so much mercy. His mercy endureth forever. And you know what? As we see that foundation laid, we know that the rest of it needs to be built. We know that there's still laboring. We know there's still victories to be won. We still know that God is not finished, that God still has a desire, that we're just watching a foundation be laid. We're just reaching the next milestone, and we can stop and rejoice and say, God is good and God is right. And we should be excited about it. We should be thrilled by it. This is great stuff. We have a great God who's got a great plan, who knows what he's doing. What a great God that we have. Notice as it goes on, as the people are the foundation is laid, verse number 12, but many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men had seen the first house. Now, we explained this morning that it's referring to Solomon's temple, which, if it was built in today's economy, would have been worth $20 billion. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Pocket change to some of you, right? But $20 billion. And so, when they look and said, hey, we just laid a foundation, there's no way this is going to be worth $20 billion. Some of them started to get the boo-hoos, you know. Oh, it used to be better. Oh, look at that. But notice, not everyone was crying about it. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. Now, why are they weeping? They're remembering the judgment that came upon them. They remembered where they came from, that because of sin, they're required a punishment. There was a chastisement. Because of sin, they're breaking down and they're remembering what happened to them. But notice this. It says, and many shouted with a loud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the joy, from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off, meaning they disturbed their neighbors. Because they were so excited. Look at what God did. And there were some that were weeping because they understood where sin had brought them. But there are also many that saying, we're not looking back, we're looking ahead. And we're looking to see what God's going to do. And we're excited that God has just got us to another step. And we're looking forward to the next step. And we're looking forward to the next step. And we're looking forward to the next step. God is good. God is good. That's what it says. Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know what? We just need to realize that God is good. As we take time to celebrate, as we take time for ourselves, that we reached another landmark, 15 years of the Riverview Baptist Church. We should be excited, recognizing the goodness of God. We should recognize, looking to the future, that the greatest days are still ahead. We still have a God who could do so much more, that he has done well and he's got us to this place now. But that's not where we stop. We don't say, all right, well, we got here, we're done. No, there's more to go. There's more laboring. There's some more fights. But remember, we keep our eyes on the Lord and he gets the victory. And we're going to watch victory after victory after victory. And we need to be excited seeing the future is still bright. Seeing that there's still great things ahead. Seeing that there's good things out there. Knowing that he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, as we prepare ourselves to build the house of the Lord, recognizing that it's God that builds the house. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All we're supposed to do is be obedient to what he's given us to do. But there's some preparation. We prepare ourselves and say, God, what do you have me to do? I want to be involved in building the house of the Lord. I want to be involved with what you have ahead. And so there's a surrendering. There's a preparation. There's a desire. God, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to get involved. There should be something that you should be excited. Let me tell you, if this type of message doesn't get you excited, your wood's wet. To think about that the greatest days are still ahead. That should do something to you. And that you get to be on board. And that you get to join in. And that you get to watch the greatest days unfold. You should be excited. If you're not excited to be a part of this church, there's something wrong. Because we recognize that God has a plan. Remember, it wasn't Cyrus that told him to go back. He said, I'm just a messenger. God has a plan for the house. And you need to obey. There's a preparation of the people that they said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And they prepared and they organized. They set it together. And every single person is important. But now as they reach those milestones and they're watching God work. And they're watching God get to one step and then to another. We should also take time to rejoice. And to be excited. And maybe even shout a little bit. It won't even hurt you a little bit to even smile. Just look like you're excited about the things of the Lord. But the greatest days are still ahead, and we get to be a part of it. Isn't that good? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.